Good morning and shalom. We want to look at the Word of God in the book of Colossians, chapter number 2. And we want to look at the role of Christ in our lives so that we could access the power of the kingdom of God. Or so that we could be able to exercise the authority and the power in the kingdom of God, so that we can access help. We also want to look at what is it we can also do? What is our responsibility? What are some of the things we can allow and disallow? What are some of the things that we need to do and we need to contend? And let's look at this and compare also with yesterday when we are looking at the last sessions. We looked at how Paul said that he's contending, that he is fighting so hard. It's like there's some waters from the kingdom of darkness that keeps coming, and Paul is doing all what he could do to stop it for us. And he said he's contending for them. But then he told them, you must also contend. You must also work. You must also do your work. Christ also is also doing his work for that. So, in other words, we are looking. Yesterday, we looked at the place of the mentor or the caregiver or the place of the pastor so that we can be able to access help from above. And today, let's look at the role of Christ and the role of ourselves. Let's start with the role of Christ. We start from verses 9, which says, that's chapter 2 and verses 9. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Look at what Christ he says, that he has circumcised us. He has cut off the power that comes from the flesh, that we will not be able to say that it is flesh that is actually doing this. So Jesus said that your whole self, ruled by flesh, was put off when you are circumcised by Christ. So the power of flesh is cut off. You only need to trust Christ. That's the work of Christ, to cut off the power of flesh. But you must work on it to make sure that it is pulled away completely from us. So, but how did Jesus put off the power of flesh in us when he circumcised us? He says that having been buried with him in baptism. So what he did is that we were buried in him. So when he died, so when Jesus died, we died with him. And the power of flesh, the power of the body, our bodies were cut off. So the death of the body of Jesus Christ affected the power of in our bodies. Praise God. What a good idea. And so we must always focus and recognize the power of Christ's death. But not only that, when he was buried, remember he died and he was buried? When he was buried, the Bible says we were also buried with him. Can you see? And when he was also raised, we were also raised with him through faith. And now we are walking and working with God, who raised him from the dead. So you can see the process of Jesus' death and the process of Jesus' burial, The process of Jesus' resurrection, those who believe in him, we also went through that. And that's what was happening, is that he was destroying the power of sin in our lives. But then he says, when you are dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, that time, when we could not be able to do that, we were already dead. God made you alive with Christ. This is Christ's roar. He made us alive with Christ. We were dead, but now made alive with him. So God did this. We say the power of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So God, he forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Now, this is a very good picture we need to figure out. That what happened is that there was the written code, the written accusation that was standing against us because of our birth, because we were born in sin. It is said that because we were born in sin, we have the sin of Adam. And all sin, all souls that sins shall surely die. It was written for us. But Jesus' death, he also, even after cutting off the power of sin in us, he also canceled, he teared away this written code. Here Paul is calling it, the legal indebtedness, which stood against us. And he condemned, and it was condemning us. He took it away and he nailed it on the cross. He destroyed. So while it was in the, so at the cross of Jesus, there were also all the written, this is legally, all the written papers, all the written charges of all of us. It was on the cross. What a good place the cross was for us. And it was there. That's what he did. Not only that, he, and having disarmed the power and authority, he made public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Now, still at the cross, he also disarmed the powers of darkness, the powers and authority. He disarmed Satan. He disarmed our enemy. He disarmed this accuser of brothers. Whatever he was written, he now disarmed him, took off all the powers and authorities. That's why he said, all authority is upon me. And he put a public spectacle and he displayed them and he triumphed them by the cross. That's why we must get to know that Jesus has already worked for us at the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ is a very powerful place for us. And so Paul comes and says, because of that now, therefore, this is now our role. Do not let anyone judge you. Christ contended. Paul was contending for them. Jesus contended for them by dying on their behalf. Now, we must also contend, if you can use that word. So it's all of us. We are now wrestling. How should we contend? Because sin, we were saved from the penalty of sin. But the power of sin and the presence of sin is still together with us to this very day. Penalty of sin, that was destroyed. That's why he paid it at the cross. But the power of sin and the presence of sin is still together with us. It will be finished when Jesus comes again. That's why we are told that the kingdom of God has already begun and it is yet to be, you know, consummated. So we are told, therefore, this is how we contend. Do not allow. This is do not let. Look at the word let. It means, when the Bible says do not let, it means we have got power, either to let it or not to let it. So do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. So don't let people judge you based on about the Sabbath day, about what we eat, what we drink, what we wear, the things of the world. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality of in Christ is found in Christ. These are the things that the Old Testament believers were being judged, because they lived at the shadow of Jesus. They lived waiting for Jesus. Now that Jesus, they were looking forward and say, when Jesus comes, this will be put to the end. But now that he came, we are living in a time that Jesus came. So these things are shadow, they are behind us. So do not let them judge us. Number two, do not let anyone who delight in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Now, this is another group of people. Don't let those who delight in false humility. Some people will come with some false humility, looking like they are very humble, but it's called false humility. We need to have discernment. They also come in, say they worship angels that they have been communicating with the spiritual environment or spiritual realm. Do not let them disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great details about what they have seen, and they are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. So they talk about the spiritual dimension, what they have seen, what they have heard. They have been to heaven. They saw God. God told them this, and they saw the God of angels. Now, this is, don't let people put those nonsense to you. Jesus has already done it for you. They have lost connection, these people who can disqualify us, with the head. They are not with Jesus, who from whom the whole head, supported and held together by its ligament and sinew, and grow as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ, look at this, because we died with Christ, another let, to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, so you still belong to them? So why live as though you are still with those elemental spiritual forces? They are hollow. Do not submit to them. So say, don't submit to them. There are things we cannot, we have the authority not to let. Don't submit to its rules. These rules goes like this: do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on mere human commandments and teachings. Such regulations, indeed, are an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Now, Paul is saying, do not let those who look like they worship God with a lot of self-rules and self-commandments and the worship. This is about the culture. This is about the ATR, Africa Religion Traditions. They are there. And they come up with a lot of do not do this. This is what our traditional people thought through. Don't, these people, these things, it's about self-worship. It's about humility, self-humility. There are some regulations. They appear as though they are wisdom, but they have no value. But they do not stop these people from marrying two wives. They do not stop these people from indulging in sexual, immorality. They do not stop. That's what Bible says, that they lack any value to restrain sensual indulgement. That the people who talk about these, they are also doing more evil. They are killing, they are sacrificing even the blood of people. They are marrying many husbands and doing all those. So Paul says, don't let that. You have the power not to do all those many things. And so, dear people, It will be good for us to realize that Christ has already done it for us. And our mentors are also doing for us. But we also must do something for ourselves. Like Paul also continued to say, this is also for us. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your life in him. So he concluded by saying, because you live Jesus Christ, you received Christ, continue to live in him. How? Rooted, built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you are taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it, you see it is you, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than Christ. Do not let things about self-help, about elemental and philosophy of men, about demonic worship, what he's calling, you know, elemental spiritual forces of darkness, don't let them take you captive again. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. You see, Christ is living in us. You know, no, the deity of God is living in Christ, and Christ is living in us. So, as Christ lives in us, God also lives in us. The deity of Christ lives in us. So he says, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to the fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him, you also circumcised with the circumcision performed not human hands. So as we received Christ, let's remain in Christ and do not let anyone take us captive again. Father, we take charge of our lives. We contend with the power and with the presence of sin in our lives. Christ has contended by the penalty of sin. He has destroyed it. And the Holy Spirit is giving us power so that we can be able to contend with the power and with the presence of sin. Thank you, dear Lord, as you have taught this. Help us to live by it in Jesus' name.